Welcome back. I am Dr. Kenyatta Starks, the host of the Leadership Identity Podcast.
Today, we will be exploring leadership identity. I'm excited to have a special guest here today with us, Augie. I'm going to share some little things about Augie, and then I'm going to let him tell you more about himself. Augie is the founder and principal consultant of Identity Capital Consulting, based in Chicago, Illinois. His firm is spearheading a unique approach to consulting and mentoring school and nonprofit leaders by teaching clients to capitalize on their identity in leadership while serving at a high level. Augie, welcome. Please share with the Identity Leadership Podcast audience more about who Augie is.
Man, well, I got to share with them because you already know me. I am honored to be here with my forever big sister on this podcast, being able to just give a little bit of my story. So thank you for having me. So my full government name is Augustine Benjamin Chimelu Emua. So I am a third culture person from Chicago, Illinois. Mother's from Memphis, dad is Nigerian, Igbo specifically. So growing up in Chicago, one of the places where I did seem to find a sense of symmetry, a sense of love, peace, was my schoolhouses. Went to a few different elementary schools in Chicago, got a chance to see very different climates. But the one thing that stood true was the connections that I felt at school. And that's something that was impressed upon me to be able to take advantage of by mom and dad. Both were the first college graduates in their family. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be of that cloth, if you will. As far as what I do now for a living, you know, I run a company called Identity Capital Consulting. And as a founder, I'm really passionate about the work that we do. It comes from my time as on down from a teacher all the way up to a principal in CPS Chicago Public Schools, which is about the third largest school district in the nation. And the work that I do at Identity Capital is really simple. We try to take this concept of DEI, which traditionally means diversity, equity, and inclusion, and we try to flip it on its head a little bit. We believe that it's really about deeply engaging identities. So that's our moniker. Our moniker is to deeply engage identities, because if we do that, then folks, the leaders that we work with, when we coach leaders, when we coach groups of leaders, they can be in a space where they co-create their professional experience, right? This is a thing that we think is a huge lever in terms of trying to be able to create sustained leaders in these roles that are really tough roles. But then at the same time, it unlocks this innovation that sometimes we just miss because we're in the day-to-day grind, trying to run schools, trying to run nonprofits, and even organizations that are on the for-profit side that want to do some civic-minded work or civic-minded initiatives. So that's a little bit about what we do. But again, I'm just honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Augie is dope, y'all. I'm telling you, if you need those services, you should reach out. Augie is dope. I promise you that.
Thank you.
So before we get into it, I think Augie gave us a little bit about identity, but I do want to set the context for some things that we're going to be talking about. And so we know as leaders that we must understand the impact of effective leadership, right? And how that effective leadership really affects the educational leadership, educational landscape, and everything that you do in your building on a regular basis, right? So it's not just holding a title or occupying a corner office. It's about embodying a set of values, beliefs, and behaviors that inspire and empower those within your setting, whether it's education, whether it's a not-for-profit, whatever it is, right? That is what is most important. So that is what we're going to talk about today. And I want to start with Augie's first question around, what helped you get to where you are today? Like, what was your drive? What was your motivation?
Yeah. Interesting enough, I'll take it back to a little bit of childhood, because I think so much of us starts from that foundation. So my father came to the United States on a student visa after being a teenage youth soldier in the Biafran War, which was one of the ugliest civil wars in Africa. Roughly about 2.5 million people were killed. My daddy made it, and he got to this country with this hope to have a better life. And he felt like education was the way to get that. So growing up, whether my dad was in his cab 48 hours driving and I was at home as a latchkey kid by myself, I already knew what time it was. I knew that education was going to be a key thing to move us towards some success in the Emua household, right? So that's kind of how I got my love for education and the possibilities in education. After attending Jackson State University, which is an HBCU, where I felt for the first time, a real tie into being an intellect. I didn't feel like I was an intellect or even creative in much of my days coming up in elementary school, K to 12. But when I got to Jackson State and had a loving environment around me where there was a specific identity and brand of schooling that happened, that's where it went off. So I came back home to Chicago. I said, I want to serve my community. Did a little bit in radio and in business and finance. And finally, a mentor of mine found a way to get me into the school system because I had been asking about it. So mentoring, that's something that's super, super important for me because every step of the game, the reason that I am here today, yes, there's an innate thing, right? I got the Igbo dad chip inside of me. But on the flip side, though, I've always, always had amazingly dope mentors that just saw something in me and kind of ushered me through, even when I had insecurities about what I could and couldn't do. For some reason, I've had people to speak into my identity in this way that's just like extremely profound. Me and you tease a lot because I always say, and I hope to never be obnoxious in any way, but there was just a time when you were a principal at the high school here in Chicago, and we were doing some exhausting turnaround work, some exhausting community work, some exhausting parent healing work. And I kid you not, like, you gave me a space to be able to come in your office, and I was just like a little coach from outside the school kind of pulling in and helping and trying to support. And when I got in your office, you told me, you was just like, look, you came in here, you know, where's the food? Where the food at? And I'm laughing about it. I was like, I didn't know I was supposed to bring food. Right then, you were giving me mentorship and teaching me about servant leadership was a concept that I never knew of. I never knew about servant leadership. I never knew about servant leadership. And some of those same lessons applied to me even being a principal and having conversations with my parents, showing them all this test data and all this stuff and realizing sometimes you just got to serve me. Where's my plate? Right? And then that's how you get that leverage and you can start working those things. Because leadership is really about getting passionate about how to make somebody else's dreams come true. It's about getting passionate about how to fix somebody else's stuff, like solving a pain point for them, right? It's different when you're just in a classroom with those students and you nurture babies, because so much of that is our default. Like, we love our children. We invest in our children. We try our best with our children. But when you got to get the adults to do that same thing on a consistent basis every single day, God, That's the work. That's the drama that you want a piece of.
Told y'all, dope. So with that said, right? And I think about the consulting company that you're leading, and you talked about, you know, how you all are really focusing on identities. How do you feel, and if do you believe that you're really allowing people in this work now that you're doing to really know and understand their identity as leaders? And how are you doing that?
Yeah, man. You know what? Shout out. I just say shout out to the space that was cultivated and created through the lens of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because I feel like that softened us up a little bit to be able to start talking a little bit about the human capital, social. Like, we had to start having conversations about the people aspects of the work. But I feel like that work now sets us up to now segue into, well, how do we almost like sort of create systems, right, to make sure that we are still looking at that work, but then trying to use it as a lever point to then be able to move towards some results. So a quick example, right? I think back to a student named Messiah. He was a third grade student in my school where I was a principal, the last school I was a principal at. And Messiah had such a unique experience. We're going to call it that, right? Messiah was running around the school. Sometimes Messiah would touch people in ways they ain't want to, you know, he was a tough kid at times, right? And we threw everything at this kid. We threw multi-tier systems of support at this young man. We threw academic enrichment, academic intervention, after-school programming. But the thing that we missed, that I'm really passionate about, the thing that we missed was that student had already developed an identity that he was behind, that he was not adequate, and that the way that he got attention, since he didn't get it at home, was to actually come to school and bring that drama, right? So it's like, when do we start to look at these soft data points and infuse this stuff into the hard data points? That's what I'm starting to get very, very excited about. My coaching process, the way that I work with teams, the way that I work with executive leaders that are in those seats making decisions, but then don't have sometimes all of the time and the privilege to be able to work intimately with some of the people, it's really about this thing called intrapreneurial leadership. You know, I am personally more of an entrepreneurial minded person, but I think intrapreneurial leadership is about when you are actually in the office, you at the desk, you with your colleagues, but you're still thinking entrepreneurially, right? You're still thinking, okay, this is a problem. What are going to be my action steps to address that problem? And you're thinking, okay, how well am I equipped to address that problem? And you're thinking, okay, well, what do I need to communicate to address that problem, right? Why do I want to address that problem? Now you're putting yourself in a position where it's just like you're coming up with innovations that actually stick and actually support the school's goals. It's just about making sure that everybody's on the same page to make sure that you have that wiggle room to have some autonomy to do some things. But I believe that that is the way that I usually coach folks up in terms of building their leadership skills, really trying to make sure that they find something that is that they're passionate about, reclaiming passion, especially in a space of education where sometimes it could feel like, you know, you're waiting for the critical feedback, right? We see people like Kanye get on TV all the time and he's up there talking about like, I'm the best. And that feels strange because it's like we weren't taught to really own our internal gifts. So we've got diagnostics, we got cultural change management readiness tools, we got all these tools. We know how to do focus groups. We know how to work with people just so we can bring out that richness and then start to frame like that, the organizational chart based on some of that, right? Because what, again, we're trying to do is we're trying to take something like your identity, your leadership identity, and your human identity, right? Because that has the back of the pen. We're trying to take that and then weave that into the way that we work. I would love to see a day where we're thinking about that in terms of interventions for students. So we do a lot of student stuff as well, right? One of the things we do is we really ask kids hardcore questions about culture and identity. Sample question, if I were to invite my teacher home for dinner tonight, would she come? Would he or she or they come, right? Those are the questions that you want to ask kids to see, what is the real culture of this classroom? What is the real identity of this classroom? And we deploy that. We have a youth come in the room that's in their 20s, that's fly. They talk to the kids, do the whole spiel, and then they roll with it. And the kids have to do it right there on spot. We get hardcore data points so we can start talking about, again, equity frameworks, but then also culturally responsive practices, all those things, because it's trying to figure out. We, like Dr. Starks, we have tried so many things, but I really want us to try to figure out how can we take identity and literally put it in some of like what we're doing from a performance management lens, right? We know No Child Left Behind didn't necessarily completely work. We know Every Student Succeeds Act didn't necessarily completely work, right? Now we know that like restorative practices and culture, the culture movement has some things that worked, but then it also for some kids set in low expectations from staff. So now it's like, man, how can we get teachers, how can we get nonprofit folks to see themselves as identity cultivators? Like you are cultivating an identity, right?
And I think we do that because they have to know their identity. And I will say this, people won't believe this, but I struggled with my leadership identity for a while. I don't think that I embraced it until I dealt with racial tension in the workplace, which I didn't have to do for a long time until I like went into a charter space and then it became different. So I think that it goes back to making sure you can't, like, remember when restorative practices came out, they say it's a lifestyle. You can't go in and say, I'm restorative if you're not living that life. And so I think that goes back to the same thing with leadership identities. In order for us to get adults to weave it in for students, they have to actually know who they are and know their identity.
Indeed.
My next and final question is, and this is going to be powerful because I was reading your bio and there's some things I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Tell me, how does your upbringing impact your leadership identity? How does it impact your leadership identity?
If somebody is listening, you just heard me scream, I'm sorry. I hope that scream did not, you know, pull over if you need to. But man, oh man. So I'm a recovering assimilator, Dr. Starks. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm a recovering assimilator because assimilation was my mechanism for survival. That was how I survived. You know, I had a not so great childhood experience that was very unstable. Like I said, my father had PTSD that we never acknowledged because it was just, you get to this country, you work hard and call it a day. When I was in high school, he actually had we wonder if it's suicide. We don't know, but we know that his life was gone while I was in high school. I was then reintroduced to my mom, who is right now still documented as unfortunately schizophrenic, right? So when you think about like the child that goes through something like that, I was blessed again to always have guardian angels, but my whole way that I survived that and went through that was making sure that I assimilated in each of those situations. I also noticed that when I got into leadership, there were little small nuggets that would remind me of who I really was as a person and as a leader. But it was, you know, have I been rewarded enough in that area to go ahead and take that, right? I've been rewarded for wearing this shirt and tie. I've been rewarded for, like, you know what I mean? Like breaking down this spreadsheet. But have I been rewarded for some of those other things that I know for sure that I do well, like my ability to galvanize community, like my ability to communicate with kids and stay close to them? And sometimes, sometimes not, right? Like you put on this leadership facade. So for me, you know, part of like my cultivation of my identity and coming back to myself really started on a spiritual journey for me. You know, practices like fasting for me, or practices like finding ways to meditate at the school, really started to help me understand who I was so that I can put on my big boy pants and make some better decisions about how I was treating people. There are still teachers that I text message to this day who I'm like, yo, I just want to let you know, we need to have coffee one of these days so we can talk this thing through. Like, and these are some folks that are having coffee with me and connecting with me who I fired prematurely because I was still under this idea that I'm supposed to be promoting supremacy. I'm supposed to be promoting this idea that the school doesn't belong to the community. So it's just interesting, man. Like some of my students, some of my kids that have grown up, some of them are married with kids. I can't believe that because I was just young yesterday. But some of these people are living full lives and we are FaceTiming and I'm mentoring them through like real life. Like they're asking me about credit. They're asking me about all these things. But they tell me all the time, they like, man, Mr. Moore, we wish you could have been a little bit more relatable like this. And that is just my reminder as I'm dealing with, you know, other leaders that are in the seat right now. I'm like, listen, you got a captivated audience right here. What are you going to do with it? Because the reality is that it's about what you do with it, because this is an opportunity for you to really, really shine and practice some things in your technique, your skill sets, and in your identity that just can come out as beautiful gifts for you. I get really, really passionate about people really not just coming to the table. It's my authentic self. I want you to come to the table. I want you to practice authentically, you know?
So if somebody asks you, how do you define your leadership identity? What would you say, Augie?
I would say my leadership identity is entrepreneurial, an agent. If I see a problem, I'm definitely going to focus in on that problem. It is people driven. I'm always thinking about how does this lead to outcomes for people? And I would say, you know, probably considerate. I have learned over years that being considerate and really thinking about people, thinking about their pain, being empathetic is huge. And that's who I've been naturally all my life. I think that I've tried to fit into some other spaces and found out that I wasn't welcome in those spaces. So I embrace my leadership identity. I embrace being a data person. I embrace being an information person, right? Like wanting to contribute to the thoughts and the thinking that's out there. I embrace the artistic and creative side of me that loves visuals and loves art and loves the symbolism of things. So I embrace all that, you know, and I think that's who I am. I wish I could have given that to you in a more clean statement, but
no, we like it very authentic here on the Leadership Identity Podcast.
For sure.
So we appreciate the time. We never end the podcast without a call to action, right? Mm-hmm. And so what are we asking our audience to do after listening to this? Usually I give the call to action, but I'm allowing you to give a call to action today. You are deep in this work with your business. And so what would you tell the audience to do as they leave us and really go back in and reflect around how they get and understand their leadership identity? What is the call to action?
Yeah. The first call to action is like, you know, I reserve time just to build relationships with people and kind of geek out. I would love if folks did feel that they wanted to set up maybe a virtual coffee chat. You can visit my website, ID Capital Consulting. That's ID, the word capital, consulting.com. And we can set up some time just to chat and have a 30-40 minute virtual coffee. I love to just get to know people. I stretch myself to be interested in more than just my skin tone and more than the things that are in my immediate sort of purview. I want to know more about what's going on in the world. So that's one call to action. I think another one really is, man, staying connected to this podcast, because one thing that I know for sure about you, Dr. Starks, is that you are a leader's leader. I say this all the time in the context of school being like principals. This woman is a principal's principal. In one of my PD sessions, I actually used a snippet of this podcast. I think keeping in touch with it, continuing to follow with it would be a huge, huge, huge call to action for me. It would just warm my heart, because I just truly love and appreciate you and the work that you do.
Thank you. Thank you. So you all heard that Augie dropped some gems on us today. He told us about himself. He just gave you some call to action points. So make sure that you take a step back, define your purpose, identify your strengths and weaknesses. Make sure you are fostering authentic relationships, because that is how you actually develop your leadership identity. So we appreciate your time. We are logging out. We will see you next time on the Leadership Identity Podcast. We out.
Everybody.
Again, guys, we appreciate your time here. I just want you all to know I am very passionate about the topic of leadership identity, because it not only helped me to be the leader that I am today, but it also helps to continue to journey me through assisting other leaders to be able to be where I am and understand the leadership identity, which in turn helps teachers and helps students. So I also want you all to check us out on social media. We have a Next Wave Leadership Academy that will help you all as a team to be able to do that. We will take a step back. We will look at your leadership team. We will look at the things that you all need to pull together as you approach the next year to really sit back and evaluate who you are, but then who you are as a team and what work needs to happen moving forward to improve student outcome. Yeah. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing from you all, either joining the podcast on a regular basis and or reaching out and contacting me at www.starksconsults.com or my email at kstarksconsults.com to really sit down and think about next steps. And if you're very interested in Leadership Academy, I would love to spend some time and tell you more about what we can offer you.